morning, everybody. How are you? Thanks, Pastor Lawrence. You all good? Anybody comfortable with their seats? You want to change? You're sick of the people you're with? Don't make that move. I'll point you out. Where's Steve and Kathy? Are they still around? Where's Steve and Kathy? It was so nice seeing you guys again. Did you know that I married these guys? The only people I've ever married in the middle of a church service on a Sunday morning. They win, you know. So I'm just thinking of you through the service. So it's just so nice. That was like 31 years ago. Would that be right? Good. 31. Come on. That is awesome. Excellent. You guys are aging really, really well, by the way, too. That was just so, so great. We met right in the middle of a church service in Wellington, and we did the whole thing with preliminaries. No one knew what was going on. I think we baptized you guys the week before, is that right? You just got that whole thing, that was awesome. And then right in the middle of the service, we just go, well, we're just going to hit a pause button here now. And bride comes down the aisle, the music team, did their whole wedding march, and everybody's like going, here, it's all on, like Donkey Kong, you know. That was so great. Could you guys just stand up for a minute? I just want to bless you. I want to pray for you. Father, we just say thank you for Steve and Kathy. Lord, we bless them right now. I thought of you all through the service. I'm just going, Father, I just speak life to you again in Jesus' name. I just want to lay hands on you both. Father, I just say thank you for this amazing couple. And Lord, those incredible memories that we all share together. And Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I saw this kind of picture of streams running into the desert, and I just see this whole conduit of refreshing coming to you in a new way, actually. So you've seen that, but you're in a new season, and this season is going to be incredibly refreshing. So the conduits from the presence of God are really, really exciting. You're a good man. You're a good man. And just let that flow into you without restraint. God's got more for you than you think. And so that's pretty exciting. Give these guys a hand. That's awesome. 31 years. Wow. 31 years. That's quite remarkable, eh? Anybody do better than 31 years? Good man. How many? 46. Wow. Come on. That's right. Come on. Yeah, Dale and I just did 45, and so we're coming up behind you real quick. So that's really good. I used to have hair. Yeah. I used to have a chest. It's a sailor's chest now, sunken. You know, so like. Shut up, Lawrence. You have to laugh at everything I say. Hey, great to be back here again, and always good. Always enjoy you guys, and enjoy coming and all of that. We've had a great season. I'm transitioning, which is a flash word for semi-retired, what does semi-retired look like? I don't know. It's pretty. I've transitioned. We've got a new senior pastor in Invercargill, and it's all that's be happening in real soon. I'm a senior leader now, so I don't know whether that's an upgrade or a downgrade or a sideways move or anything like that. But I love it because it's all care, no responsibility for me. So that's nice, eh? And ministry and no administration. Thank you, Jesus. And so. Anybody getting saved along with me? No one? Okay, yeah. They love administration. I saw that. I thought, who's making an altar call for administration? The girl with the tow truck, for goodness sake. She got really excited. Like, did you see that? Oh, I'm so excited. I'm excited about Daniel, but I'm woo! So I've been doing that. Crazy enough, if some of you don't know me, I live in Southland. So I live in Invercargill. I'm just going to put a timer on because I'm a shocker for time, so you'll be grateful for what I'm doing right now. I don't listen to it, but it's at least it makes you happy. And it gives me an electric shock if I ignore it for 5 minutes, so that's really good too. So if you see me getting CPR, it sort of like stink. You know what I'm doing. So I live in Invercargill, this is really so nice because I'm enjoying summer because we've not had one yet. I was in Christchurch ministering weekend before last. It was 35 degrees on Saturday and 36 degrees on the Sunday, which was like, and humid, you know, so it's like, And I'm a Southender, so I was like wilting and complaining and all of that kind of stuff. Until I jumped on the plane the next morning and went to Invercargill, and we landed in rain, and it was 11 degrees, and no one wanted to get off the plane. And because we just left, it was like 28 degrees at half past eight on a Monday morning, you know, so it was kind of crazy. So that's good. But anyway, we're doing all of that. So I was there, I'm here this weekend. This is my transition time. And then I'm home for a week, and we've got a bit of a soiree. We've been in Invercargill so for 30 years, so this in January, so we're having a bit of a celebration for that. I'm not supposed to know about it. I know a little bit. I've been trying to find information about it, but everybody's shutting me out, which is annoying. I know some things, but we're looking forward to that. Day after that, jump on a plane, go to the States for 2 weeks, minister over there with a prophetic friend of mine, and so we're going to do some conferences and some meetings and bits and pieces. And then he rang me through the week. How cool is this? So he's jacked us up to go to a medical center in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, I think it is. And you go to a medical center, we'll be there for 3 days, and people make appointments to see us. Yeah, Dr. Hackenbush and yeah, that's the Marx Brothers movie, just in case you wondered. Anybody who remembers the Marx Brothers? Three old people. Yeah, that's all good. That's awesome. So we're there in a medical clinic, and the staff there have put aside rooms for us for 3 days, and people make appointments to see us, and we pray for them and prophesy over them, and so that'll be fun, eh?
Awesome. Fantastic.
I'll try this side over here. Be exciting, eh?
Yeah.
See, just like that. So I think I might just move over the side, actually. This is like, but really, really fun just going in and ministering for 3 days to a bunch of people who, I don't know, someone asked me, do they pay? I went, I haven't thought about that. I hope so. That'd be quite good, eh? You're in America. Everybody pays for everything. You pay to get your bags taken away. So anyway, that'll be fun. And then we come back for a week and repack our bags, and then I'm up to Gisborne with Pastor Norman Jess McLeod. Anybody know Norman Jess? They're amazing people, going to Pakistan and do stuff up there, and they're just groundbreaking people up there. So we're there as well, and Dale's doing Sozo stuff, and so we're into April, and then we've got a conference in May and all that kind of drama. I've got that. So it's kind of like if that's semi-retired, I don't. It's kind of like, whew, here we go. So a lot of fun anyway. So you all good?
Yeah.
Okay. If you've got a Bible or you've got a device or you've got something you can read the Word of God on, which is all good. So why don't you flick open to 2 Corinthians? That'll be fun. Dale sends her love, by the way. So those of you who know my first wife, Dale, I tell her that to keep her on her toes. And she calls me her current husband, so I was like, okay. But she sends her love to you all, and she's involved in Bethel Sozo New Zealand. She heads that up, and I daren't complain about anything, you know, because she'll do a body sozo on me, or she'll ask me so leading questions about, you know, and I'll have inner healing, and it's so much fun, man. That's awesome. So there we go. You're getting a little bit of overflow from my devotional time, and I've been stuck in 2 Corinthians for a while now, and I've been stuck in the first couple of chapters. And I love this because, you know, even in the first chapter, Paul talks about we've been through all kinds of stuff and it's been crazy, but we learn to believe in God that raises the dead. And that's a great statement in that first part of 2 Corinthians. And so here's this basis. And out of that, I preached a few weeks ago in Invercargill on persecution. I've never done a message on persecution before. And, I had so many people taking notes and quite excited about persecution in the end. And, we just about made an altar call for it. You know, it's really interesting because part of our Christian experience is the pushback that we get. You know, both whether it can be from family, it could be spiritual, it could be just direct attacks and all of those kind of things. Had a friend who was in Mali, and it's one of the most dangerous places to go in the world. And they were actually having civil war when he went there, and he didn't know that. They invited him to do a crusade in the middle of a civil war, and he was going with his friend, and they are completely like evangelistic in every way. Where's my revival friend John? Yeah, like that. And right right in the midst of all of that kind of stuff. I mean, they have AK-47s, you know, like at the airport, and then they pass them through the scanner, which is not working, and then they give them back to them as they get on the plane. So that's the kind of plane you're travelling in. Just picture that in your imagination. It's not Air New Zealand anymore, you know. And so they're there. And they're out in the countryside, and then this war, kind of rural war, breaks out, and there's AK-47s and Kalashnikovs going off all around them, and there's bullets bouncing off and in the car and all that kind of stuff, because they're the moving target, you see. And John says, it was just amazing. He said, I always wondered what this kind of, you know, against the gospel would look like, and this wave of amazing anointing just rolled into the car. He said, it just rolled in, and he said, it hit me and my friend, we're in the back seat, and we looked at each other and started laughing, and then the second wave just moved in, and he goes, he said to his friend, he says, I think we're going to die. And his friend went, I think so too. He says, I never thought I'd be this excited. And then this third wave of anointing rolled into the car, and he said, and I suddenly realized there is a grace associated, as Paul talked about, in this pressure that we come on, that when he believes about the God who raises the dead. Amazing. And so sometimes when we absolutely fret about some of the stuff that's, you know, coming against us, which is not AK-47s in New Zealand, you know, it's just sometimes someone's been mean to us or looked at us the wrong way in a queue or something or other, you know, we need to understand that there's a grace for our passion that we carry, this God within. This, I was walking through the park the other day and God was going, guess what you've got inside? And I went, you. He goes, yeah, and it's like a nuclear reactor. Try this side over here again. It's like this, like, power that is in you. You know, Christ within me, the hope of glory. And as my friend says, the only hope of God getting glory out of you is Christ in you. Very good. And it's so true. We need to understand that is the joy, that is the passion of the gospel, that we carry this God within us. And that we are conduits now. And, you know, my older friend over there, 30, 40, 46 years of marriage, knows I put my hand on him. And I said, yeah. So when I said, you're a good man, you know, well, you're a good man, you're a good woman. You know, there's a conduit of his presence that comes and touches us. And you don't know what you get off of each other. And I've said this here before, but if you can serve up a bad mood at home without any words, anybody? Of course, we all know how to do that. Come on. Heck, a 12-year-old knows how to do that. It's just like a 6-year-old. I got a 6-year-old granddaughter. She knows. She gave me the look the other day. Like I was pulling her leg in a grandpa joke. She just rolled her eyes at me, like 6 years old. I said, did you just roll your eyes at me? She said, maybe. I'm going, oh, my goodness. If we know how to serve up a bad mood or attitude, anybody? You know how to serve up a bit of attitude? Yeah, come on. Well, we can serve up love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Why? Because it's not us, it's Christ within us, the hope of glory. It's just a choice. It's just a choice.
Yeah.
What do you reckon this side? See, that's what I'm talking about. Right there. So here's the scripture. It's in Paul goes this and he says, you may be asking why. I take that off because it's got a magnet on it. It sticks all the time. You may be asking why I change my plan. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I'm like people of the world who say yes and when I really mean no? But as surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. You got that scripture up on the screen behind me. It says, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He's not iffy about us. He's not iffy. He's not like you get up and go to work on a Monday morning, tomorrow morning, you know, and kind of gets that thing again. He said, no, he's for you. He's not against you. And that's we need to understand that right from the get-go. It's not kind of just because you feel bad or your circumstances aren't lining up to think you where they are. You know, God's really for you. His yes is yes towards you. And I love this because, you know, when it talks about this, it says, as surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. Verse 19, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. And he is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I have preached to you. He is God's ultimate yes. Mm. and he always does what he says. Come on, bang your neighbor and go, he always does what he says. And that's where it thing, you know, yeah, but my circumstances, yeah, you know, fooey to your circumstances, you know, because he always will do what he is destined to do and does those. And then it goes on to say this in verse 20, it says, for all of the promises that have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes and through Christ, amen. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. A few years ago, Mike, the revival I went to wasn't as rural as yours. I went to Pensacola, Florida a couple of times, and I was there right in the early days of that, and Lyndall Cooley jumped on the keyboard and he would sing all the promises of God, a yes and amen. We had no words, we just had to learn it. It was a new song to me, but I tell you, at the end of 10 days in that place, there was just we knew that all of the promises of God toward us. That's the first time that was ever, if you like, hammered into me, and just through singing. Even when we sing the morning, some of those declarations that we're making in song are incredible. It's not just singing the song to get to something else, to yank, to, I'm just hanging out for the notices this morning. No. Those messages, those songs are laying something into our life. And they're amazing in all of that. We sing them for a purpose in all of that. So all the promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes and through Christ, amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. And then look at this, verse 21, I love this. He goes, God, it's God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm in Christ. He's not only enabled us, he's now commissioned us and he's identified us. Is this so cool? You know, I go and pick up little Zoe from school. You know, this is my little six-year-old. I've got eight grandkids now, but I the school's nearby. And I look around this whole sea. Why is everybody at the school a girl and everybody got blonde hair, you know, just like little Zoe? It's just like there's just a massive kid. That's not true, of course, but when you're looking for one little blonde kid, you know, like they go, where the heck is she? And suddenly I hear, Grandpa! You know, and she comes like a rocket through the crowd, you know, and jumps on me and all of those kind of things. She identifies us, but I've identified her. And she knows that because of our relationship together. And then I tell her, just exactly like I told Bree when I came in this morning, Bree, I put my arm around her, walking in the car park. Bree, don't tell the others, but you're my favorite. And on the head, I did that. And she said back to me, you tell the others that too. I said, yes, I do. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. It's just our secret. You know? And I do that to all our kids. You know, come on. Because, you know, that's what God does to me. That's what he does it to you. Yeah, he gets you beside you and go, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. Don't tell the others. Isn't that lovely to have a relationship with God like that?
Yeah.
That when you come into his presence, you're okay?
Yeah. So good.
Some of you are a little bit unsure about that.
So good.
That's true. You know, you go, oh yeah, but he doesn't know what I've done. Really? How dumb can you be and still breathe? Come on, he knows what you. He knows you through and through. Yeah. He knows your next move before you've even thought about it, and he still loves you.
Come on, good.
And he waits for you, and that's the gospel. That's the best news. That's the best news. I always wondered when I went to church as a kid if they were having good news, why people come out looking like they'd heard bad news. Don't look at anybody right now. All right, so. And he's commissioned us, and in verse 20, he identifies us, and he identifies us by placing his Holy Spirit in us.
Yeah.
Oh, I recognize me and you. You're like me.
Very good.
You're just like me. There was a creepy movie called Rosemary's Baby. Don't put your hand up if you've seen it, but it was way back in the day. And it's not around, but it's interesting because it was like the main thing goes is the Grunch of Satanists get together and have a baby, and you know, Rosemary's going to have the baby, and she's cohabited with the devil, and that was the kind of the theme. I think Roman Polanski made it anyway. So anyway, weird. Anyway, and when I remember the scene when they looked into the bassinet, you know, and this was the line. I'll never forget it, because it really riveted something for me. They looked in the bassinet and it says, oh, look, it's got his father's eyes. And then you saw the eyes of the baby and they looked like a cat's eyes. And, you know, it's kind of like everybody goes, ooh, you know, it's creepy. But when I look at you and when we look at each other, we should see the father's eyes. Because we are made in his image. And I look at these scriptures, and I've been pondering on them for weeks now, it seems. I've gone over them. I need another Bible because I've so heavily highlighted my Bible now. It's one of those things going, oh, yeah, I just saw that again, you know. Then you start writing notes about it and all of those kind of things. So you're just getting a little bit of this overflow because it's here it is. He enables us. He commissions us. He's identified us. He's identified us by placing the Holy Spirit into us and in our hearts. And that's the first installment. That's the engagement ring. That's the kind of, you know, that's the thing that God said. He said, I'll fill you with my Holy Spirit. In fact, I you know, the amazing thing for that is that, and Romans says this too, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you serve God with this attitude, and others, God approves you, others approve you, and we're in harmony and all of those kind of things. That's nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Oh, the righteousness, peace, and joy, yeah. But the Father seals us with the Holy Spirit, with this engagement ring, with this lover's seal, with this dowry, with this down payment. If the Holy Spirit is the down payment for what God has for us,
yeah, come on,
that is mind-blowing. But what this talks about is this is the lover's seal. This is the down payment, the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, you got filled with his presence. Remember that day? The skies were bluer, the grass was greener. Even people looked nicer. Even your family who were all messed up, you went home and went, actually, well, maybe. You know, I could love them. Why? Because you had Mr. Love inside of you. You had Mr. Grace inside of you. You had these things, and you became a conduit for this astonishing grace that God gives you. And when I look at these things, this is the lover's seal. This is the down deposit. This is the engagement ring. This is the Pentecost of the church. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we were filled to overflowing. We weren't just filled once. We were filled to overflowing every day. I got filled again this morning while we worshipped. You know, there was a point in there, I'm going, I'm giving myself to you again right now. I'm getting saved. This is my altar call. Here I am. Harabakashandai, which is Gaelic for be filled with the Holy Spirit. And just in case there's anybody here going, you shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, and this is the baptism of fire. Charles Finney called this the endowment of power from on high.
Come on. Nice.
Whoo! What about Martin Luther? I mean, there you go. Let's get sophisticated. Martin Luther said the gospel is nothing less than laughter and joy. I couldn't even imagine Martin Luther saying that until I read that he did. I read it again and again and again because I just somehow didn't have Martin Luther doing that kind of thing. You know, this serious old guy with the beard, you know, who liked beer and hated Jews and knocking his thesis on the door in Wittenberg, you know, 200 something years ago, and there was a Reformation and all that kind of stuff happened. And here he is going, the gospel is nothing less than laughter and joy. Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. C.S. Lewis said this. He says, joy is the serious business of heaven. Because when you're filled with that engagement promise, you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Very good.
It just spills out of you.
Very good.
I love this kind of thing. Listen to this. John Crowder wrote this. I was with John late last year. He said, the Lord began his earthly ministry by miraculously transforming 180 gallons of water into wine. What's that in liters? What's 180 gallons? I'm sorry, I'm just reading off a quote. It's a lot of wine. Yeah. So the Lord began his earthly ministry by miraculously transforming 180 gallons of water into wine. For what practical purpose? For 2,000 years, the earth has been trying, or the church has been trying to change it back again. Do I get an amen anywhere in the room? Or not, you know, like the notion of a God whose ambition is unbridled happiness of mankind offends us to the core. I thought, I'll read that again without making commentary on it. The Lord began his earthly ministry by miraculously transforming 180 gallons of water into wine. For what practical purpose? For 2,000 years, the church has been trying to change it back again. The notion of a God whose ambition is the unbridled happiness of mankind offends us to the core. And there is something in us that rises up. It's like a religious thing. It's like a God can't be that kind. It's like Dale, my wife, and I've told the story before, but when I brought her to my home, and Dale and I are completely different backgrounds. I was goody two shoes, brought up in a Christian home, got saved when I was 11. Dale was brought up with a violent alcoholic father who abused her verbally, physically, and sexually, and in a home that is just fraught with all kinds of minefields, all right? And when she came into my home, my father saw her, and he thought, this is the best girl Ian's ever brought home, and he just went and hugged her. And he said to me after, he says, wow, see, it was like hugging a power pole. She immediately was defensive. I said, well, she's not like that with me, Dad, I can tell you. Anywho, moving on. But what was that? It was a reaction to her father. I could see her. She was so in love with Jesus. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you mentioned father around her, she was a bit iffy about that. Even God. And the problem is we have lenses that we look through. We have pain that we look through. We have expectations or unfulfilled expectations, all of those things that come. But we need to understand us that everything God promises us is both yes and amen. Do you know that there are 5,500, this is conservatively actually, 5,500 promises in the Word of God? How do you guys on that side feel about that, by the way? Wow, or backwards, wow. The 5,500 promises. Conservatively, there is 5,500 promises in the Bible, and they're all yes in God. Oh, yeah, but what about, you don't, yeah, but but what if I sin tomorrow? Well, all your sins, you know, have been taken care of on the cross.
Amen. Come on.
Yes, but tomorrow, no. The cross happened 2,000 years ago, so all your sins were future. Yes, but tomorrow, yeah, no, that was future.
Yeah, so good.
We need to understand that. Yeah, but you know, no, God is kinder than you are.
Very good.
He's kinder than your pastor is, which you should be grateful about.
Yes,
He loves me. When I have grandchildren, as I said, and they're growing up and they're doing things, and sometimes they're in trouble and all of those kind of things because they've done things they shouldn't and all those kind of things, and they come to me and I literally don't care. And even my kids go, Dad, you're spoiling them. I'm, yep, that's right. That's right. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. My home is Switzerland. Your rules don't apply here. If you come and stay with me, I might treat you the same way. Hey, Katie, because you're my favorite. I'll show you where all the goodies are. Those kids come in right now. They come to that cupboard. They come around me and they'll pull my trousers over into the kitchen near the cupboard where that cupboard is, and they'll get me to open it. And I'll go, help yourself. And I get growled at. And I don't care. Because I'm like my father. And not my earthly father. God just loves that kind of stuff. He just loves it. I'm being electrocuted right now. He loves it. 5,500 promises. Could you do the on the for me? The 5,500 promises. I'm going to finish with this. Promises of salvation. Come on, that should at least get a reaction. Come on. Yes. Remember that day?
Yes.
Yeah, remember that day? Let's do it every day.
Come on.
It's the promise of healing. Wow. He heals us and he restores us. I was deaf 3 years ago. I can still hear really well. You know, I haven't put my hearing aids back in yet.
Come on.
Yes. Thank you. Someone heard that. Promises of healing, of deliverance, of provision. Of provision. I brought this up. This is exhibit number one. This is my diary, my journal, my secret thoughts. wait till they make the film. I wrote this yesterday. And I just wrote, it's right there. It says, now here's a promise. I just wrote another one down because now I'm collecting them. Because a lot of them there, 5,500. I'm going to need a bigger book. But as I find them, and as they're highlighted to me, I'm going to write it down because I want to read it. So I'm meditating. So now here's a promise, exclamation mark. And, underlined, all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. What I'm doing is I'm just, I've read that. This is not the promise yet. I haven't got to the promise. I'm just reminding myself that all of the promises are yes in Christ Jesus. And then I write the promise. This is out of Deuteronomy 28. And go, oh, that's dodgy territory in Deuteronomy. Like, yeah, you're going to get boils. Yeah, but I got a promise for healing as well. So that boil's not going to last long. Amen. I may be sitting wonky for a while, but at least I'm going to get it healed. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, amen. So I turn the other cheek. Anyway, come on, shh, keep up. This is your promise. This is my promise. I'm going to share it with you. But you can have this as well because apparently you're related. Same haircut, bro. We're all in the family together. We've all got the same father. You've got your father's eyes.
Very good.
And here's the promise he gave me yesterday. I went, oh my goodness. He said, the Lord will guarantee. I loved it right there. Because if the Lord guarantees it, you can take that to the bank. To the Lord will guarantee. Search around, by the way, until you get a decent translation, so it'll really give support to the promise, by the way, too. That was a theology joke right there, but anyway. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything, underlined, you do, and will fill your storehouses. You don't know this. I have an ANZ app on my phone, and to save some money, you can name them. You know, you can name them, like, you know, my nest egg or whatever. Mine's called the storehouse. And I read this yesterday. It says, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses. Yes, I'm going to build another one now. I was going, why do you have so many accounts? Because I've got more money than you. And I told her that, it just went down a lot, you know, like, anyway. It's a trouble with a joint account. Anyway, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. And I went, well, I don't want grain. He goes, well, you can have money instead. Is that okay? Well, yes. Thank you very much. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you.
Very good.
I'm going, wow. And it was one of those words you read and it just, you know, kind of like lights up. And so I took that. Lord, you'll guarantee this. And look at all that. 5,500 promises. Now I'm collecting them. I'm 66 years old. I know a few promises. I can know them, you know. I know bits of the Bible, I've memorized bits and pieces, but there's a vast amount of the promises of God here for us. Come on, just stand with me for a moment. These amazing promises. He's promised so much to us. Resurrections, miracles, rest. He's promised you rest. He's promised you relief. Come on, just close your eyes for a moment. Lift your hands. He's promised protection. He's promised signs and wonders and miracles. He's promised resurrection. He is. Do you know, put your hand, one hand up and one hand down, on your tummy right now. On your own tummy, just please check you're putting your hand on your own tummy. And because this is what it says, it's the same power, Romans says, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives within you. And the promise of God is that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. And for manifestations and revivals and renewals and reformations and dreams and prophecies and promises, the Lord, the earth experiencing heaven on earth, these are promises that all of us can get for our family. The kid that's away from God, you go, I don't know what he's going to do. It's not your problem. God loves him more than you will know. God loves her more than you will know. And he can reverse things in an instant of time. He'll open the cupboard to his amazing grace as she tugs, or he tugs on her trousers, and he goes, help yourself. When the prodigal came to himself, it was the father that ran to him. And so, Father, right now, as we lift our hands, Lord, right over this room, Lord, where there have been broken promises, where there have been disappointments, Father, I thank you that you keep your word, that all of the promises in you are yes, and they are amen to the glory of God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. I cannot say enough that if you get that kind of that insight, that revelation, that Jesus is in you, he's living within you, he's alive in you. He's like the alien chest burster within you. It's an old movie now. But he's alive in you. I tell you, when you get to understand, when you get a revelation of that, not just a theology, but a revelation of that, it will change your life. God bless you guys.